This is the Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 161. What do you get when you get two married couples that own companies in the creative space together for a conversation? Keep listening to find out, because this episode is these adorable couples, Troy and Lori Collar, and Mike and Jen Parkinson for an amazing conversation that sometimes talks about presentation, sometimes about life and marriage, and most of the time just random stuff we get to be a part of.
Okay, welcome to the Presentation Podcast. We are going to have an awesome conversation. We're going to have a conversation that I think many of our people joining us will listen and appreciate. Others may have no clue how to relate to
this
conversation.
It's going to be comedy hour.
And they may just laugh at it. So here's the scenario. This was recorded back at the 2022 Presentation Summit. We're in San Diego, California. We've had a phenomenal few days together. And we're with Mike and Jen Parkinson. And we got talking and we're saying, we work together. We're married. We're spouses. And I was like, make a really great podcast is, can you work with your spouse? Now, I'm pretty sure that title is going to get shot down by the time this goes live. But we are the four of us together just to kind of talk about the fun things. Mike and Jen, say hi.
Hello, I'm Jen.
Hey, I'm Mike. I'm looking forward to talking about this stuff.
Okay, let's get personal really, really quick.
Oh my goodness.
Lori, could you say hello?
Hello.
And say what age we met at?
I was in high school.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Jen, when did you guys meet?
I was 17 and Mike was 19.
So high school-esque.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was in high school and Mike was a freshman in college. Yeah, so, yeah.
So we have a lot of similarities here, ironically, and this is where the conversation led to. Now, here's the really big question. I was like, because we both work for our, you guys have your company and you work together, and Lori and I have our company and we work together. And now we actually have an office, we have a studio where the designers theoretically go. It sat empty. We paid a wonderful lease for an accountant to have a place for, a couple of years. And we did broadcasts. We have, we decked it out with all kinds of, it was great. We're paying for 2 1-gigabit internet lines and we were never in there to use it, but we had run meetings from it. So somebody would go in, run the meeting and then they leave. That's what the office is used for. But so we do have a separate place as an office, but in that building, in our office studio, Lori and I share an office. Our desks are in the same, behind a closed door. We're in the same room. At our home, which is where we're going to go to, we're in the same room. It's a big open loft area, multiple desks, and we face each other. And
we always have shared an office.
We have done this for, we're in San Diego, and our first home was here in San Diego, the first place we bought, and we took one of the bedrooms, and we had an awesome, you guys would be so envious. We had, because I worked for an exhibition company, so we had this whole, the guys that built trade show booths and stuff, and I literally went in there and said, I want to build an office as that, and I bought the wood. Okay, I gave cash to somebody there. So I think I bought it, and they created this whole wraparound desk, went around the entire bedroom area.
Oh my goodness.
And it had the little dovetail thing, so it all stitched together. It was an awesome, awesome desk. I mean, phenomenal. But Lori faced one way, I faced the other. We're in the same room together there. But what about you guys? Do you guys actually work in the same vicinity?
We have a hybrid situation. So essentially, Jen and I have an office on the first floor. We have a 3-story house. We have on the first floor, and we share this office space until I have to get into endless meetings. And Jennifer has meetings too. And so when we have meetings, we need to be in a separate. Well, oftentimes we have. I have a meeting. She has a meeting at the same time. She has an upstairs office that we just built out to help do that. And now we're stitching together internet so that we have, and today in Nolan's session, he did the Google Mesh. Mm-hmm. So we think we're going to do something like that so that she has the bandwidth upstairs to do the Zoom meetings and things like that. So we're currently building out a setup that allows us to separate when we are having simultaneous meetings and at the same time be together when we don't, because there are times when we work together where I need to turn to Jennifer and say like yakety yakety, and she's like got it, and I do an AirDrop because we're Mac based, and then boom, we're done. And
by the way, I'm personally envious, we're Windows based, but when I use Macs, that's the number one thing. This is so freaking amazing.
Anyway, sweet. So that's basically our setup right now, and for the most part it works well for us, except that I can be a jerk face.
Well, it's just, okay, so for many years, before pre-COVID, Mike primarily went to an office. And so because he has the company with that we run together, Billion Dollar Graphics, and then he is also a partner in a more service-based company, which is called 24 Hour Company, which does more of graphic design and presentation proposal design. So his office was right up the street. So I pretty much had that space to myself, and I'm an only child. Well, we're both only children. Mm-hmm. And so like I was so used to having my own space and my office, and he would be there every now and then. But then now having him in there,
you have to share.
I have to share. And that was really hard during COVID. I was like, this is my space, you know? And even though he had his office space was always there because he was working the evenings on Billion Dollar Graphics on the weekends and stuff. You know, I still considered it more my space. And so, it was definitely something to have like Mike in the office with me, because when he's in his meetings, like I'm sure many people have seen him speak, he's very gregarious and he's like that in all of his meetings. And so I'm like putting my headphones on, like cancel, like even if I'm just trying to focus on something, I'm trying to read and I hear like blah, 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 you know, like, so it was trying to get used to having that voice in my office. Cause before I would just have my dog would be pretty quiet and look at me sometimes and, you know, go out to the bathroom. That was it. But now I have this, like this force behind me, and I could feel his vibrating energy. I could feel when he was like, when a client or somebody was frustrating him, because even with my headphones on, I would feel like the chair roll back and him stomp out of the room. And I'm like, oh crap, that was a really bad call, wasn't it? And I could feel the anxiety. So that's been something to get used to too.
I hear you. I'm kind of enjoying this because somebody I happen to work with can get really loud on the phone when he's on a call. He gets so excited. Wow. Maybe not Mike level excited, but he gets passionate, excited. Mm-hmm. And so we have...
Are we talking about me? Just want to make sure I ain't funny. Lying,
so we have two offices. So we, as Troy said, office, and then we have our home office. Mm-hmm. And our desks are upstairs in a loft area. It's bright and sunny. And I love it. So when we're home together, which through COVID we were, and he'd get on a meeting, usually I'd get warning. But I would just, he'd hear me unplug, and I'd go downstairs to the kitchen counter. And mm-hmm. So the dog and I would hang out downstairs while he was having meetings. But we usually coordinate when who's having what meetings. And sometimes if it's a heavy meeting day, he will go into the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to stay home.
And give you some space.
Okay, I have a question for you guys, though. Uh-huh. In your office setup, do you have windows?
No.
We have two desks.
Two desks.
My desk face the outside and hit.
Yeah, okay, so you do have windows, walls. Like windows outside, not yes. Windows the yes. Operating system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No. I hear you. Just gotta be careful. Yeah. And who gets the window?
I get the window.
You get the window. Yeah. Okay. So we had this thing. Our first desk together was in Santee. Mm-hmm. And Troy got the corner window. And it was beautiful. He overlooked the park. He could see the pool and all that. And so then when we moved to Oceanside, we built an office. And I got the window.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, in those homes. And so then the next time we moved, where we are now, you know, he gets the window again.
I don't know if I get it. You told me this is where you sit.
No, we talked about this. Oh. We totally talked. We were being fair every other.
I face away from the window. It's behind me. You look out the window by looking through my smiling face.
Oh my goodness.
Hold on, honey. I have a wall of monitors.
You didn't when we built it. She has three 27-inch monitors.
Holy, wow.
Big monitor, horizontal, big monitor, horizontal, big monitor, big monitor, vertical orientation. I'm basically blocked out from seeing her now, but I guess that does block your view of the window, doesn't it?
It does. Anyway, where I was going with that is that we've been at this house, grateful, love this house. We've been at this house for almost 20 years. It's been a long time since I've had a window.
You have the whole craft room with the window face. You overlook that?
Dang. That's a good point.
Kids move out.
Oh,
ow.
Oh,
kids
gosh,
move out. She got a craft room.
I did.
Yeah, you crumpled quick there.
I did.
Oh, my.
I did.
Oh, my.
Anyway.
You have the window at the office at the studio.
Okay. Good point.
I have a question for you too. Yeah. So if you could wave a magic wand, what would you change about working with the other person?
The hours.
So too many hours together or just too many hours, period?
I want to know what you're going to say.
I think I might have walked into this one. We will a lot of times play hooky during the day and then we'll work in the evening, which is great. But I'm like, you know what? should we really be working in the evening? You know, because it's convenient. We work together, so it's like no big deal.
Right.
Our commute is, you know, from one end of the house to the other in the most case. But, you know, sometimes I think maybe we've put in a few too many after. But yeah, a lot of times we do play, you know, like we take the dog for a walk out to the dog park. It's about a mile away.
We do the same thing. Yep.
You know, come back and we do that. You know, it was great. Had a really, now anybody that's, so we would go for a walk. We live in a nice residential neighborhood. There's not a lot of like activity around. So we take a dog, take our dog out for a walk down our block, around the block, through the park, and we wouldn't wear our masks during COVID because we were in the wide, wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm gonna get in trouble for this. And we always had our masks with us and we'd always put them on if we, you know, because people want to talk.
Yeah.
This and that, because some, and there wasn't many people, but I was just like, how can you say we should be wearing our masks when we're literally 900 feet from anybody and they're inside a house? So we go for walks every day. It was very fun during COVID for
that. We need to do that again.
Yes, we still do.
So
good for you. We've kind of gotten busy.
Not the amount of hours, just sometimes we pick weird hours to work.
But to answer your question, we work good together.
Good.
We do. In the beginning, we had some, what was that for? Oh,
just making sure. I wasn't sure. No,
So in the beginning, we had our snafus. I will say there are times when it's good to have a second office because, you know, every once in a while, it's like, I just need a day alone to get things done.
Yes.
I mean, Jen, does he interrupt you a lot?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I don't do that at all.
well, a lot of times, like, I think he just doesn't realize that I'm in the middle or I'm focusing, and he'll be like, well, Jen, you need to invoice like so-and-so. And I'm like, who, what, where? And I'm like working on a totally different project. I'm working on a graphic or I'm doing editing and I have no clue. Like, wait, like, can I just finish this thought, like finish this train and like, not like, you know, that's because this is going to take, like, I have to turn off my editing brain or my creative brain and now go into math brain.
I hear you, sister.
This is kind of Jen's fault though. She has demonstrated an ability to multitask far better than I can. So she has trained me that this is an acceptable behavior. So
that brings up a good question though. You guys own your business together. Mm-hmm. We own our business. How do you guys divide up? Do you have duties divided up? Do you share duties? Like,
I do the janitorial services.
that's the duty. Speaking of duties,
like empty the trash can.
It's janitorial.
Okay. Just checking.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we absolutely do. We fall in prey to, so I've read a book called E-Myth Manager or something like that by Michael Gerber. And one of the faults he had for small businesses was they tended to take turns. Right. Things organically happened and we fell prey. So I own two businesses and the one business said, we don't want to do it that way. But we, because this is more organically, happened organically, we fell prey to taking turns and, or basically if there's something that I didn't have the capacity to do, Jennifer did it. And so that's how we kind of defined our role. So for example, Jennifer is pretty much, finances. You're pretty much dealing with all of the invoicing, all of that stuff. And I don't know that it's necessarily her strong suit, but it's just what happened because I was out there doing training. So I'm traveling, doing the work. So I just didn't have the capacity to do it. So it happened that way. I don't know that it's the wisest way to... The thing that I read, and I don't know any more than this, was that what do you want to do? Create an org chart of where you want your company to be and then define what you want to do in that org chart. And then as you grow, you put different people in those roles. Well, we did not do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's funny. We're the same thing. I do all the finances, but for a way different reason.
I relinquished them. It was reluctant.
I
had it under control. It was all good.
No, I'm telling the story. So we were dating in high school and he pulls up to the bank and he goes over and gets cash out of the ATM. I mean, nice guy. He took me to the movies. Yeah. He comes back and he's looking at his ATM receipt and I kind of look at him. I go, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm checking my balance. I'm balancing my checkbook. And I look at him, I go, you're kidding. You do balance your checkbook. He goes, no, I just check my balance and I make sure it's okay.
That's what
at that moment in time, I knew I was in charge of anything financial. So there you go.
I don't see the problem. There's numbers that are positive. You're good.
See what I mean? But we do. So I do the finances. Thank goodness we've hired a fantastic guy. He does our books for us and invoicing, and you know, we still have input, but he's a blessing. But we kind of, I'm the finance, the HR kind of side, but Troy's definitely the sales and the technology. That's yeah. his thing. And then, you know, I'll call rank as a creative director, you know, yeah. art director.
Yeah.
So
we're very similar.
Yeah.
I mean that I'm more of the sales. It we do have someone to help with our finances, but it's funny because Jennifer said, I didn't go to school. Like when she's doing the book, she's like, I didn't go to school for this. And there's usually swear words involved.
Well, let me just like preface this. Like I remember back in ninth grade, I went to a vo-tech school. And so like I took like business was like what I went in. Like, you know, you could go into plumbing, you could go electricity, you could go like, you know, car maintenance and stuff like that.
They had like pie making or something lame back
they
then.
They did actually have kitchen service.
There you go.
Like was
there you
one
go.
Of the huh. primes that you could get at the And so I did business, which was essentially like secretarial work or things like that. Now this I'm dating myself. I guess like this was back in the late 80s.
No judgment here.
Yeah. And so I just remember like one of the things, this is in high school. I'm like 15 years old and I did accounting. And this was, of course, all pre-computers. I was doing it by hand. And I remember hours, like I could not balance the books in and I was like bawling my ass. I was like, Mom, I
there's
can't.
A positive number at the bottom of the line. You're good.
I couldn't do it. It would never add up correctly. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? So every time I do the books now, I mean, like we're talking
flashbacks.
Like,
yeah.
yes, like 30 some years later, I'm still like, it's not balancing. like somehow I'm always off by like a couple cents or something. And I'm like, why?
Similar story, but I remember as a kid, I'd watch during tax season, Mom and Dad would drag the dining room table into the living room and it would be piled with receipts and papers. My dad had the calculator out. My mom would be there to help him, but they just spent so much time doing this. And I remember walking up to them and I said, I am so glad I am a girl because when I get married, my husband is going to do the taxes.
Wow.
I was like so excited because what they went through was miserable.
It sounds
yeah.
like it.
Yeah. Gosh. Darn it. Like,
wow, I didn't live up to that one.
No. But I kind of hope our
you're not dead yet. You could.
I hope our tax accountant is listening because now he'll understand why I drag my feet and why I just, taxes are painful.
Oh my gosh, they are. And especially like, I don't know how complicated California, I'm sure is pretty complicated because Virginia, that's where our business is set up. You know, there's like lots of things and there's lots of like quarterly deadlines.
Uh-huh.
And if you bring in a certain amount or if, you know, depending on how much, you know, salary you're making, you have to, you know, submit, like, of course you have the federal, then you have the state. And then there's always like, we have like property taxes in Virginia, which, you know, we didn't have when we originally were from Maryland. And so the property taxes, so we have to let them know any computer equipment that we have gotten over the years since the business started. And when we got rid of the equipment, so I have like an Excel spreadsheet of everything. So not only then we have like computer equipment is taxed differently. So if we bought printers, things like that, software isn't included, but just hardware. And then we have furniture tax. So our desks, our chairs, our file cabinets, all that stuff, like bookcases, everything. I have to track that we still have all that.
Yeah, like and a 7-year depreciation.
Depreciation.
Yeah, it depreciates. Yeah, it depreciates, but we still pay on it.
I feel like this is the most boring PowerPoint podcast ever.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about depreciation.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
so
we can move along.
I hear you.
We each have our own. You have a car that you kind of like call your car.
Yes.
You have a car you call your car. Jen, you have a car you call your car, Lori, right?
Yeah, but I want your car.
And I have a car. So here's a question. Do you have a like a company car?
No, but
we do not.
I think we should be doing that. We
absolutely could and should. We just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah. We were there.
Yeah, I mean, we know we should, and our accountant says we absolutely should and could. We have a vehicle that we use 100% for business. We just have to dedicate it as such, and we haven't done so. The other thing that would make it easier is lease a vehicle. And because of my head trash of growing up, I never chose to lease a vehicle.
Hey, leased one. The first vehicle I ever leased was not the vehicle I have. Actually, technically the one
you still have it, dear.
Yeah. That's a whole other story. We did buy it because the accountant's like, we decided to get a company car. So I have a pickup truck. She got the nice Lexus. So that became the company car. Well, we ended up paying it off. And the accountant's like, you guys are dumb. You never should. We need this.
I know. So it's like a house.
Like, just go lease a car. I was like, I've never actually leased a car. So I had to go to the dealership. I was like, hi, I want to get a car. I'd like to lease it. But you have to tell me what I need to know because I don't know how to do this. So we did lease a car. And then COVID hit. I didn't use up all the miles. We went to trade it in. And it was a really funny story because, you know, the dealerships have no, because I need a lease. The accountant's like, you need a lease. I need an expense for you. Your company needs to show continuity, you know, be consistent. Drove up to the Jeep dealership and a guy comes out there and I said, you know, and he's like, he asked if we were there for service or he didn't even say like sales. And I was like, no, we're here to look for a new car. And he literally looked around the two of us, looked at the Jeep, looked back at his lot and said, wow, your car is probably nicer than anything I have in inventory because there's just nothing available right now. And I was like, oh, this is going to go bad. And sure enough, I like that jet black one, which I said I wouldn't own a jet black car again because we're in California. It's fairly warm where we're at. But it was the super high-end performance one. And it was like $60,000 above our budget already. I was like,
and rolling her eyes.
So long story short is we ended up paying off the lease because it was cheaper to actually just buy the car outright. And then the accountant's back to, you guys are idiots. You need a lease. So we did lease a car. I ordered an electric car before an electric car was necessary at $6+ per gallon of gas in California.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone wants an electric car. I ordered mine way Thank before goodness. That, but it took about 7 months for Ford to come out to deliver the car. And then we went to finally sell the Jeep Grand Cherokee. I went to, you know, trade it in. They're like, anyways, long story short, when I paid off the car, because it was a company car. So we got to use the company funds to take care of that. And then we had to put the money, put the company funds back. They're like, your pink slip is useless. There was a typo on the pink slip, the way they processed it. But because I didn't have a need for it, I didn't look at it. So we had to then give it to the California DMV. And they're like, okay. And I had all the documentation. Luckily, they're like, it'll take 4 to 6 months for us to clear this up. So basically I have two vehicles now.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, well, one of them paid off. And so we put it down to the lowest mileage, you know, like just, it's just going to sit here until we get this pink slip. So I still haven't sold it because now business has gotten so busy. I'm not home on the weekends. I keep traveling. I kind of like need to list it for sale. Anyways. So now we have too many cars in our Mike. You need a new Jeep. I heard yours.
No, I know it's true.
The very one tempting.
This is actually indicative of the subtleties and eccentricities of being an entrepreneur or a business owner. This great book, that Michael Gerber book, I don't know why I keep coming back to that, but Michael Gerber wrote that book. And basically, he's like, people who are there, there's people who are expert technicians, managers, and entrepreneurs. And there are three different mindsets. He said, typically what happens is an expert technician has an entrepreneurial seizure. They're like, I'm really good at making balloon animals. I need to make a company making balloon animals. And so then they do that. But the skill set to get you to be an expert technician is not the skill set understanding and experience to be an expert entrepreneur or to be an entrepreneur. And so what happens is, like, you know, I'm a visual communicator. I'm a graphics guy. I might be a sales guy. I have no idea about depreciation of office furniture. I don't want to know about it. All that hiring people, making sure that I'm filing the right FICA. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to deal with this. And because which is why Jennifer did.
It's so true.
The exigency. However, before you move forward, I got your answer. So you said the hours. So if you could wave a magic wand, Lori.
Yes.
Oh.
What would you, if, but change, because I'm going to ask you the antithesis
we're
next.
We're going to ask you to them.
So if you could wave a magic wand
and change anything, make it better.
As a husband, right,
to make it
team.
More betterer.
Okay, I don't want to get sappy. I like working with you. Aww. So just so you know, if I could make it better, it would be controlled hours. I just steal what
you
said.
Well, it sounds like you're both on the same page.
It would be like, I would like to work 8 to 5. I'd like to be an employee. but still own my own business.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's reasonable. That is the one bad thing that comes with being an entrepreneur. Yes. It's like, so basically, something goes south and your staff says, I'm pooped, or you want to protect them.
Well,
guess
I think
who
it
does the work?
More in our situation, the husband-wife duo, couple duo, you know, you run the company. There's not like the one spouse on either side that says, you got to take a break. You have to do it. It's like, oh yeah, we got to get that done.
You guys because you understand what's going on.
Jen's in it together.
Jen's always asking, how can I help you? And I'm always asking Jen, how can I help you? Because I see my wife, who I love more than anybody else on the planet Earth, dealing with pain. I want to help.
Aww. That's so cute. Okay, I just had a thought and now it slipped my head.
Bananas. Chickens.
Banana split with a lot of hot fudge.
Sure.
That's all I can think of.
Okay, we got it. Okay, so here's my ice cream now. So bad.
We travel. Actually, wait, that's, I'm going to start
with this. We travel a bunch,
yeah. Do you guys travel together for business?
Good question.
We do almost exactly what you do.
Okay, so you're always on the road. So we travel a lot. And oftentimes we're going in separate directions.
Jealous of your travels.
We try and keep it together and go, you know, anytime a project needs two people, we got it. By the way, we have a new one. I got an opportunity for us to go to Shanghai. I'm very excited about
it. Oh my.
It's unconfirmed, but I was like, wait, you need two people. I know somebody that would go with me to handle this international project. It's a big client. We've worked with them before, but this is a new one. So we might actually, so we actually extend our time together because, you know, we're not just colleagues like, hey, we're here. And by, we're really cheap. We use the same hotel room together.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We always love us.
Right.
Okay. So I did have a, so we actually started a thing a while ago. We're like, okay, the company, we need to get a break from our own company environment, which is kind of weird because we're always traveling. So we started going to Hawaii for extended time periods. And I will actually throw this back because we here at the summit, we got to say hi to Nancy Duarte. We've talked
she's over amazing.
The years many mm-hmm. times. We have a lot
I have
of,
to thank Nancy because this idea came from her, didn't it?
Yeah, a lot
it?
Of similarities. And when she was writing her book, she basically kind of let it out that she goes to Hawaii to escape the office environment. And I was like, we love Hawaii. We should do that. So over the past many years, we've been escaping to Hawaii. We always say we're going to go for a month and then it gets cut down and cut down. I mean, the last time we were, the earlier trip this year, I had the opportunity. So we say yes to most international projects. That's why it always looks, you know, social media is curated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I said yes to an international project and I had to tell her, I was like, hey, you know that 3 weeks in Hawaii, can we make it? Two is really, and we're doing it as a working vacation. We are literally going there and that gives us a chance to, we each read at least one business book. We go through, we actually did our whole hiring process last time we're there evaluating all the hundreds of resumes and we do a lot of work, like the stuff that we never have time for. So we do that. But the last one I said, no, I'm actually going to make it shorter. Can we adjust the Airbnb thing? Because I'm going to go to, where'd I go?
Okay, I have to interrupt. These two are looking at each other, and there's these light bulbs popping over their work.
Sorry.
Private communication going across the table.
I know. I'm like, this is brilliant.
I left for an international project, so we imported our daughter to hang out with Lori for a few days while I went off. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe a little cheesy of me to like leave my wife in Hawaii and like go to.
You went to Barcelona.
I went to Barcelona, and it was a great trip. But it's a really, really long trip to go from.
Oh
my
Hawaii
goodness.
Time zone, go back to LA for 8 hour layover and then continue on to. It was a long trip. But, anyways, so we're going, our next trip to Hawaii, we're very excited. But it's, again, we're like, we're going to go for the entire month. Like, oh, it's November. We don't want to be gone for Thanksgiving. Okay, we'll go for 3 weeks. Lori goes, hey, I'm going to Vienna.
Yes.
I got a project for another medical advisory board in Vienna. It's kind of over our Hawaii dates. So this may actually come out and our kids don't. So we had also made plans for our oldest daughter and her husband to come in and join us. We're really excited. We're like, okay, we can give them a little vacation, this and that. Yeah, we're now basically letting them come in and we're leaving. We're both now leaving because I got a job as well. So we're giving them the condo. Like, hi guys, enjoy.
They must love you.
So
they don't know this part yet.
Best parents ever.
So. I know, right?
So when you guys travel together, do you ever get a chance to stay extra or to do other things besides
almost always.
Do podcasts with your friends?
Almost always.
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay. Almost always.
Definitely.
Absolutely. We, Jennifer's, so I didn't ever want to travel that much. I was like all about, I want the Bentley. I'm going to put my money into peacocking is what I call it.
Okay.
And I realized pretty quick that the travel thing is pretty freaking awesome. Life experience is more better.
I love seeing your pictures. Yeah.
By the way, I did mention, I said you could take a vocation like pie making. I'm not busting on pie makers because they're the bomb. But anyway, the fact that Jennifer loves traveling, I got the travel bug. And so now every time I go someplace that it's a destination we want to go, like I'm going to be doing some training in Houston. Yeah, Houston's an awesome place, but it's not someplace that we haven't been before. So we're not going to do it. But if it's like, hey, I was asked to do a keynote in Australia. So I was like, well, I'm totally going to Australia. And we turned it into a trip to Australia and New Zealand.
It was great because he got two opportunities. It happened, both of them happened to be in Melbourne. There were two organizations that Mike had spoken with in the United States and done different conferences and all.
Right.
So they knew of him and they both happened to be in the same week, like back to back, having, a conference.
I leveraged it. So once I knew I was keynoting, I reached out to another organization.
So it was great. So we got to Melbourne and we were able to stay there for a week. And Mike did both of these events. And, that whole week was written off as a business expense. Yep. And then Mike's airfare was a business expense. And then we booked a tour for 3 weeks through Australia and New Zealand through Trafalgar, which is we really enjoy that. Yep. And so it's happened to start in Melbourne. And so it all worked out. And then and then we ended up
staying. They did the month. We just can't get it together.
Yeah, it was just under a month.
It was over a month. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, because we stay with Tom.
We stay with Tom.
Oh, yeah, we stay with Tom.
Yeah, and so in the tail end of it, we also wrote that off because we were staying with, another
business friend.
Yeah, exactly. Business friend.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Colleague for certain.
Yeah. So it was great.
Believe me, hanging out with Tom, it was
Tom Howell
from Synapsys Creative.
Love it.
Just sold.
Maybe.
Potentially. I don't know the official word, Tom.
Yeah, we don't know 100%.
Yeah, we don't know update. Yeah.
But still, brilliant, brilliant person. And to spend time with Tom, it was just like a kid in a candy store. We were constantly bouncing ideas off of one another.
Yeah, awesome. They were breaking out the computer and figuring constantly out different things with PowerPoint and presentations and bouncing ideas. And it's just really great to, I think what's really awesome too, when you're able to stay, take a few days after a conference and hang out with your friends.
Oh my gosh.
You're relaxed.
Downstairs at the pool this evening was the best I've been all week. Now, granted, this is not the normal just show up and because I've been working.
Oh,
I'm officially
you've been
not
going.
Working, but I've been working. Yeah. It's just the way it works at this conference. But down at the pool, it's just the greatest talk to everybody. Everybody's in a relaxed mode.
Yeah.
I think it should have been,
And sometimes you have sometimes ideas flow, creative ideas flow from that. Or, people are like, hey, I really want to, a lot of networking opportunities come from after you stay for a few days afterwards. And that's what's so amazing to me.
Absolutely.
It really is. And having that downtime with people on a more relaxed state is great. And it's awesome when you have a business and you can do that. And so when you all were talking about your Hawaii trip, we were like, wow, that is a brilliant idea because we did something slightly similar. So we're on the East Coast and one of the places we love, I don't know if you've been there, the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
No, we've been invited a couple of times now.
We are very East Coast illiterate.
Okay. All right. It's beautiful.
I know where the Outer Banks is. Anyways.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because, to get to Paris for you is a 5.5-6 hour flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
For us to get to Hawaii is 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, we literally go to Hawaii because it's the closest thing we can get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to. We went down to Mexico,
Cancun?
Yeah, Cancun.
Yeah.
And that wasn't business, but we went down there and I was like, this is a really freaking long flight. I'd rather go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Because getting to Cancun was a lot longer. I had no idea.
So funny. I don't even think about that because, Cancun and all those places are pretty easy for us to fly to.
Well, so for us, when we go to Europe, that's a big deal. But we're talking about staying after. Routinely, I will stay after and go to museums. We both do. We go to museums and the inspiration and the knowledge and all of that.
I love
being a graphic designer, that's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. But love doing stuff like that.
Oh, I do too.
So I guess that's a perk. It's a perk of being in this profession, design, creative, but it's also a perk of being married.
Word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If Troy was an accountant.
Kind of creepy.
Okay, now you gotta know more of the story there. My father was in banking. He was an executive in the banking institute. And I will say that there are genes that don't translate, and there's a math gene that does not come through.
True.
No matter how much you want.
You do math all the time.
What I did is get 3 college degrees and with taking 0 math courses. That's how you work the system.
So how cool is that? If Troy were an accountant and I was going to go off to a show or whatever.
She's never ever said that, by the way.
I am going to stop saying it. So if I were to go off to a meeting, I wouldn't stay that far after because he wouldn't be with me. How cool is it that we can travel together.
See, and I know other couples. That's why I was so excited to talk to you. Other couples, like, you know, they work together, but they just don't seem to.
Oh, we do.
Enjoy or mash. It's just a way of always.
You know, that's so true. Cause Mike and I love a lot of similar things. Like, you know, we enjoy like going to like attraction parks and stuff like that. Like, of course,
pop
Disney
culture.
And all. We love pop culture. So we'll go to Comic-Con together. We love like the same kind of movies and all. And I think it's interesting because just like you all, we grew up together. Yeah. And so that attraction when we were teenagers, like a lot of times, like I think about like the differences between my friends and us, like when we were younger, what attracted you yourself to somebody else? Like usually it was like common things like movies and songs that you liked and things like that. Like that, like when you're a teenager, that's like the big thing.
You like bands, same bands.
Similar bands and all. And then of course, like when you get to be adults, like there's like more adulting things, like, you know, like children or careers and all. And I think sometimes when people meet as adults, sometimes like they're looking more for the stability. They're not looking more for like the fun and the connecting you know, like some of the more social aspects. And so I think sometimes like, you know, you both connected at such a young age and you also grew into your interests together.
That's what I want to ask you guys. Who got into graphics first? Who took the first leap?
Definitely me.
It was, yeah.
Because I went to Baltimore School for the Arts in high school. Mm-hmm. And that was my way of getting out of a difficult upbringing because where I grew up was very blue collar, very sketchy, a lot of crime.
Okay.
So if it wasn't for Baltimore School for the Arts, which is an amazing school, I would have probably been in jail. But so I went there and that fed my love for art and gave me a leg up in college. And so when Jennifer and I met and she was going into college and I was already in college, which is a little weird, but.
Yeah, I still have a problem with that. Did your mom know?
Oh yeah, I know. But basically, I was such an advocate of art once I realized I wasn't going to be a
biologist.
I was going to be a biologist.
You
just
started being able to pronounce it, but
yeah. Well, in my defense,
I don't know.
We were doing our farewell event tonight for, and so I had a few glasses of wine. So forget
fair enough.
Biomedical engineering is what I was going to go into. And I took it after going to fine art, and I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. So I went back to fine art, and because of my passion and because of my personality, I think I got Jennifer. Because Jennifer was a marketing background.
Well, what I really wanted to do was be a writer. Wow. And so I was going to go to college to focus on writing.
Or a spy.
And then I did actually at one point want to work for the CIA.
That's awesome.
I'm obsessed with James Bond, which is a total side story. So I thought I could be like a female James Bond, but that did not work out. But anyway, when I found out what spies really do, I was like, yeah, it's probably not me. But so anyway, I decided that I wanted to be a writer and write about being a spy and going on these like adventures. And I wouldn't like be put in harm's way because I'd be behind a typewriter at the time, But then I heard that like writers really don't make that much money. So I thought, well, maybe I'll be a copywriter and I'll do, you know, advertising copywriting. Like I love jingles. Ever since I was a little kid, I would sing jingles and I loved like copy. I love reading like the ads. I don't know.
It was so
like
funny
really weird.
I've never heard you sing, but I hear him like jingle through all kinds of things about bananas and nuts. Yes.
She's an amazing writer, by the way. She's really good.
So I used to do there were all these commercials. I would sing all the jingles all the time around my house. There was a couple of my favorites. I used to sit there and record myself singing all the jingles. And then I went to school and Mike started doing graphics. And so I got in the advertising program and I decided to take some graphic design courses and I found that I really enjoyed it. So then I minored in writing and I decided to go marketing design. And so that's where and then it was interesting because when I graduated in the mid 90s, there weren't that many copywriting jobs, but there were a ton of graphic design jobs. So I ended up doing that. And a lot of times with some of my graphic design jobs, I ended up doing both, writing the full campaign.
Skill set. Amazing. Yeah.
So I would have an in-house marketing department and I would create the whole campaign. So I would do the campaign and then I would design it and then take it to print. And so I was doing all that.
One-stop shop.
Yeah. So one-stop shop. So I was able to use all that.
Which is another reason why you wound up doing all the stuff that I didn't want to do because I knew you could do it all. Again, it's your fault. Is what I'm saying, basically.
Have to say as a side, as a partner with him, it's one of the things for writing. So Mike's, because Mike's face and his name is on all the marketing materials and I'm behind the scenes, it would frustrate me when we were first starting out with the business. And Mike would do some of the writing, but a lot of times I would write a lot of the articles and he would have all the ideas. I would take his ideas and I would just polish it or rework it so it would be better. And then people would come up to him at conferences. Oh my gosh, I really love that article you wrote. And that was there. And I was like, I'm the one that wrote that article. like it was his ideas. Yes. But I helped him polish those. And I would be like, yes, it was a great article that Mike wrote.
That's exactly what happens for us. I write it all out and Lori just does a little bit and it's just, she just polishes it. That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, could we write something about this?
You could see Lori's face.
I know.
I am not allowed to publish anything. I mean, I work on high low stuff, but she is like, you do not do punctuation. She's like, you PowerPoint through your, how do I make this the quickest, most understandable way? And she's like, give me that.
Three words he hates, the and any other pronoun. He won't use them. He writes in bullet points.
Oh my goodness. That's hilarious.
He does. Our poor staff.
It's almost like telegraph style.
Beep, 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 beep.
Stop.
No, the period right there, way too much time.
That's too much time.
Morse code.
Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Okay, so without getting sappy, I'm trying to think how we could be useful because we're having a lot of fun. I hope other people listening are having fun.
Yeah, I know. Probably for geeking out.
So let's say you've got a couple and they're thinking of getting working together, or maybe there's a guy and he's thinking of proposing. I don't know what the situation is, but what's one advice or nugget or thing to prepare?
Could I answer?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let the wife choose the window.
Full nice. Circle.
Well played,
nice
sir.
Job.
Well played.
Nice job.
True.
We have come full circle.
True. I'll come up with something serious in a moment. I go ahead and follow up if you can. Could you rephrase that, please?
And just what's something helpful to share with anybody listening? So I feel
I honestly think definitely part of it is giving the other person space to grow and to learn. And I think as you get to work with somebody, recognizing when somebody needs space and yes. giving them time, that was one of the things I think that Mike and I had struggled with at some point. He might be really frustrated about something or I might be getting really agitated and frustrated. And of course, that kind of one of the things that I've learned is that anxiety is contagious. So if you're very close to somebody, not only emotionally, but in the same room,
computer's
you really love
crashing,
that person.
Software's not working, no matter what you do.
And so sometimes it's okay sometimes just to walk away and let that person have their space. Let you have your space, because I know sometimes because anxiety is contagious, I will start getting anxious. And then sometimes I might get a little short or a little snippy with him, which only kind of feeds it and makes it worse. So one of the things I had, and it took me unfortunately too long to learn, is that just saying it's okay to walk away, let the other person have their breath, let yourself breathe. And then, you know, and when I'm allowed to do that, when I give myself the grace to do that and give, you know, give him the space, it makes things so much easier. So that's a huge thing. You can't always solve everything for the person. You have to let them work it out sometimes. Mm,
can't solve it for the other person. They get to work it. Mine is going to be boring. Mine is basically, rather than let the roles and responsibilities happen organically, define them up front, is my opinion based on my success with the other company. The one thing that I feel like we've done ourselves a disservice, what we've done a disservice to ourselves, is by not saying, what do you want to do? Because it just organically happened. It was necessity, and that necessity is what defined our roles and responsibilities. I don't know that it's wrong. I just think that we could have probably gotten ahead of some of the challenges that we've had by doing so.
It's communication. It's almost like when we started doing these business, the planning trips and getting away, you know, suddenly we were at a point where we were actually taking a moment and being, not that we're not professional, but we were taking a moment and having a business meeting.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly helpful.
It was more proactive than reactive.
Yeah. It was.
So that's kind of, I absolutely agree, but I was actually thinking the exact opposite, I think. We actually do it so much. The advice was, hey, somebody's going to start working together. What do you need to be prepared for? There is no coming home from work and saying, honey, how was your day? Yeah. What is new that I don't know? It's more like, you know, we're sitting down at, we actually consciously catch ourselves now. We're sitting having a meal. We might even turn on TV, which is a novelty. We got rid of the cable way before it was a thing, because it's like, I never turned this thing on. Anyways, so we're sitting down and we'll be doing it, and we'll suddenly go, hey, you know, the so-and-so client project, you know, this and that. I was just thinking we could actually, I could implement this. What do you think? And all of a sudden we're down this whole discussion. Mm. Your life is very intertwined on a business level.
Very much so.
There's no separation. Do when I didn't see you or what? No. Yeah, so we end up talking shop
a lot.
So
and we
do
don't mind it.
No,
sometimes it's okay.
Yeah. But
taking that moment, recognizing when okay, we need to stop.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I was just having a conversation with Johanna here, because, you know, and this just has to do with really having your office space in your house. And I think back to like when I was working a 9-to-5 job back in my 20s, and there were different stressors than last year. Yes, thank you. Last year. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that. Good point. But, you know, one of the reasons why, like, there were a lot of stresses and things like that going on in our 20s, but I didn't feel as overwhelmed as I do now. And I think part of that is because I'm not finding that space. Like, I don't close the office door and then just kind of let things, kind of end.
Okay, I have to laugh. Mike's taking a selfie.
I'm
good at concentrating.
I swear.
I'm so sorry.
No, hold on, pause. Troy's taking a selfie now, too.
See, I am so not a 20-year-old.
You did it. You did it. You don't have the claw hand.
Yeah, you did good. Yeah. You did good. So we were talking about you were talking about talking work. That's like one of the things that, because we both work together and we have these projects, so like we'll be, you know, we do love movies and all, so we always try to make time to watch like a horror movie in like October.
That's our decompression time.
So, horror movies. Horror movie is really decompression.
So you guys are clearly perfectly matched.
It's crazy how much we love the same things.
Yes. Wow.
We're so lucky.
No on horror movies on this side of the table. But
that's good. You're perfectly matched.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So horror movies.
Or Marvel movies.
But, you know, Michael get a ping on his phone and, you know, it's a client or there's an issue with, you know, something, somebody was trying to download the software and there was a problem. And so he immediately gets up and goes up to the computer to deal with it. And I'm like, It is 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. You're not an ER doctor. Nobody is going to die if you do not show up to work. This is just a file that they're having trouble downloading.
And I want it off my to-do list.
He wants it off, but
okay, I understand you.
And so to me, I'm like,
so with you, Jen.
I'm like, lock the door. It's done. We need to have that space to kind of just have our time together, you know, our downtime. Yes, thank you.
So, Mike, seeing how she mentioned that you're not an ER doctor.
I am not.
And seeing how you guys met when you were younger, you had to go to her family and say, I would like to marry your daughter at some point.
Yeah.
Were there any expectations for you? Because I had a very clear...
Well, let him answer first.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, in our world, it's probably different than your world. Again, growing up in Baltimore City, but bottom line is I overwhelmed her mother because her mother's a single mother and her grandmother raised her. And I overwhelmed her with my entrepreneurial like, thinking.
Mike can talk his way into anything.
We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to be super rich and have Lear jets, and her mother's like, back off.
Oh.
Like, you need to back off, buddy. I had everything like, oh, we're just going to be super successful, and I've got it all figured out. So that's what I went in with.
I was entrepreneurial, and that was the wrong way to go, because your mother said could be one of three things.
Yep. You needed to be a doctor.
A lawyer,
or an airline pilot.
Oh, that's an airline
because
pilot.
They traveled throughout their whole later years. So at least, if nothing else, at least I could get them to the countries they wanted to be. You know, that was the low end of the bar. And I said, those aren't going to happen.
He failed. Wow.
Still got to marry her. But man, I did have a hard time of going about that permission.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It took a few years. And then
I won her over.
Oh, totally. My mom.
My
mother-in-law.
Oh,
my gosh.
Say.
My mom.
Oh, yeah. No. My same thing. I get along with my mother-in-law amazingly well. We're so lucky. Our family both are very, very supportive.
You're not
supportive.
ER doctor, according
to you. I am not. No. Her mother and I found this rhythm. At first, it was not good. And we found this amazing rhythm. And it's I love her mother.
Okay. Do you ever throw anything across the desk to hit the other get their attention?
All the time.
And what do you throw?
I have like a squishy ball. Like I will sometimes throw at him. I have this. Okay. So we have already established that we like horror movies. And so my friends always get me weird horror gifts. I have this little like squishy thing that has a Nerf eyeball in it. It's a zombie. And so if I squeeze it, the zombie eyeball pops out and makes that noise. And
it's
so
awesome.
I'll do that across the room and just pop the eyeball and hit him.
So I'm guessing at least one of you throws something to the other one to get their attention.
Not necessarily. The trash can's over next to him.
She just misses a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
But he literally got me a mini trash can and put it on my desk and said, use this instead.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Hint.
Well, I was because I had to pick them all up. I was just helping the cleaning crew, which is
you.
Me.
Obviously, yeah, right. We have established that as your.
But you said the popping thing. So he has a coaster from TechSmith. Do you remember those?
Of course.
The little green ones. It's a circuit board.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still has it. It's like one of his favorite possessions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And he'll sit over there on his side of the desk. It's a wood desk. And he'll start spinning it. And he'll go spin, flop, 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 flop. And then he'll spin, flop, 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 flop. He has no clue he's doing this.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm over here working and it's like the clicky pen person. You know, you're just like, oh my gosh. And so how many times a month do I walk over and take that out of your hands? Or hide it.
It really bothers you? I thought you just wanted my coaster.
Oh, the secrets come out. This has turned into a therapy session, everyone.
It's kind of true. Yeah, Jennifer will shake her leg. And at some point in time, normally it's no big deal, but at some point in time, I'll be like, hey, you're shaking your leg. And she's like, I know, I'm just so... It's just... Boop, 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 you start to hear it.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing about working with... Because that's the other thing, is that we feel like I would never speak to, not that I speak to her horribly, but I would never speak to an employee the way I speak to, or a colleague the way I speak to my wife. there is this familiarity that I'm going to get.
You better not be kissing your colleague.
And that's true. There's benefits.
Yeah, that's right.
There's
out.
Benefits. It's just the way that I speak to Jennifer. I used to. I don't do this anymore. Like, I would never say, Jen. I would never say that to Kazim. Kazim would be like, forget you, buddy. But Jennifer, I knew she would probably forgive me. I do want to make sure that I don't forget this one. So the antithesis was, you know, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you change?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
You amazingly said the same things. So what is the number one benefit of working with your spouse?
We get to go on vacations together, and we get to go on show sites together, and I love just hanging out with him. Is that sappy?
No,
it's great. I think that's awesome.
You're lucky, I think. Yeah. I think because I hear of other entrepreneurial relationships or other entrepreneurs who are married, and the stories. I used to belong to EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, and if you own a company of a certain size, you're invited to join. And a wonderful opportunity. It's a great organization, and you join these groups, and these groups are very honest and open. And the challenges that entrepreneurs have to experience, that entrepreneurs experience, there are no words. And the insights that I've learned are basically, it's freaking hard to be married and an entrepreneur. The fact that we are both entrepreneurs and married, wow. It is awesome.
So can we wave the magic wand your way and say, what would you change?
Oh, what would you change? Wow. What would I change about you?
Oh, I don't think I was thinking. Oh,
what are you gonna change about me?
Wow.
Oh, no. Them feet, woman. No, not at all. No, it would probably. I'm trying to think. It would probably be like.
I think more like, what would you change about your work and how your habits and your.
No. I mean about our working relationship and in general. And I would say that I probably need to compartmentalize more. But I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything. I mean, I would think it'd be about anything to make you not stressy.
I'm a bit high strung, which is always funny because I go to the doctors and they're like, wow, you have like really good blood pressure. It's actually on the low side. And I'm like, I don't know how that's possible.
But if there's anything I could do, wave a magic wand, I'd be like, anything to make Jennifer not stressy about stuff that we stress about.
Aww.
You're so cute.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of like going back to our earlier point is that just finding a way because like you said, our worlds are so, you know, our personal and business worlds are so tied together that, you know, a lot of times we talk about work stuff, but sometimes some of the work stuff isn't like fun bouncing ideas. It ends up being like, gosh, you know, we had to deal with this tax stuff or, you know, oh my gosh, I forgot to file this and now I owe some money and I'm so frustrated. So there's like sometimes we're talking about the bad stuff behind, you know, running a business. And I just kind of wish that we could just, yes, compartmentalize more. Like
yeah,
where
yeah.
we this is our time where we don't talk about any stressful stuff regarding work, any of the bad stuff like that, you know, that we have to deal, like not bad stuff, but just stuff that like a challengey client or software issues or something like that.
Yeah, and something weird.
And sometimes I feel like lately it just seems like a lot of things have been piling up and it's sort of like bleeding into our personal time together. And so that is what I wish we could have a little bit more of a separation.
Love it. Okay, we should wrap up.
Yep.
Yeah. We need to wrap up. This has been great. Yeah. This has been actually, we had no idea. We're just like, hey, we're a couple of couples that like totally, we found out we're starting. Now we've been fortunate. We've actually gotten to visit your home at a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
The windows.
It's a beautiful home. Folks, you should go visit. Just
gorgeous windows.
Friendly.
Always welcome. Yeah. Always welcome.
And we're literally an hour from our place and we haven't had anybody out. Just, you know, we wish we could have everybody over. Anyways, so we just kind of wanted to get together and this has been so insightful and so therapy oriented. This has been phenomenal.
I know. This is great.
Yeah, I think next time it might be a therapy session. Exactly. We may have to nail that. Yeah.
Hey, thanks guys. Everybody that joined us for this was the four of us. We just wanted to throw this out there. This has been fun. Folks, thanks for listening to the Precinct Podcast.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being with us for another amazing conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. If you enjoyed this conversation, please tell the presentation people you know about the Presentation Podcast. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.